I would like to read familiar portions of the Word of God in the first part of our meeting. The Gospel of Luke, please, chapter 14. Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, and we'll read, please, at verse 15. When one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the lord said unto his servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now come over, please, to chapter 15, verse 11. He said, A certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Over, please, to chapter 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass when the beggar died, that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Now God will bless these portions of his word that we have read tonight. While we're acquainted, well acquainted with the fact that these are very familiar portions to many of us in the gospel meeting, I would like to bring to our attention a few things in connection with what we have read. I would like to think that in Luke chapter 14, we have read there of the voice of invitation, a cry from heaven, if you will, come, for all things are now ready. Then when we come to chapter 15, I would like to notice here the voice of an awakened soul, a cry from earth, if you will, a man who has made up his mind, come to a determination. He said, I will arise and go to my Father, and I will say, Father, I have sinned. The cry of an awakened soul. Then we have in Luke chapter 16, the voice of eternal torment, a voice from the flames of hell, a man tormented in the flames of God's judgment, and he's crying for a drop of water to cool his tongue, for he says, I am tormented in this flame. I think of the tragedy of any soul that has sat under the sound of the gospel for these weeks of gospel preaching, who will miss the great blessing of salvation and lift up their eyes in the torments of hell when the day of grace is over and salvation is past and gone for you. What a solemn moment that would be if you were to die in your sins and wake up in a lost eternity. We trust that God will speak to your soul tonight, and that you might make this the time when you'll make Christ your choice, when, like that prodigal of old, you'll say, I will arise and go to my Father, and make up your mind, I'm going to get God's salvation. You know this, I believe, that those who get God's salvation, and we have discovered, even in these present gospel meetings, those who have found the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, are those who had a determination that they were going to come and get that matter settled. I believe that when a soul makes up their mind, they want God's salvation more than anything else in the world. There's a Savior and waiting to save them. I think we mentioned one night about a dear man yonder in the little town of Red Bay where we lived for a number of years. That man made up his mind one night that he was going to settle the matter of his soul's salvation. You say, well, how do you know? Well, before he went to the meeting that night, he knew that there was a habit that he had that didn't go along with Christianity. Now, I'm not saying that it got him any closer to God's salvation, but that man, before he left to go to the meeting, he took a package out of the back of his pocket, and he cast his cigarettes into the stove, and he said, I'm finished with that. And he had made up his mind. He had come to a determination. He told me afterwards, I said, did you think that putting those cigarettes into the stove made you any better? No, he said, I never thought anything like that. But he said, I went to that meeting with my mind made up. I was going to get this matter settled. If ever there was salvation for a sinner, I wanted salvation and I wanted it now. And away they went into the stove. And he came that night and he sat in the back corner. There was a row of young men sitting there, and he came into that meeting, and he made that whole row move out one seat, and he got right in the corner seat, and there he sat, and he drank in the message of the gospel, and that night in desperation, realizing his need, he came to Christ. I think he likely got saved in the meeting, but when the men were going out, they looked back at him, and they kind of mocked him a little bit, and they said, come on, come on. You're not going to sit there, are you? But he never budged. He never budged. He never moved an inch. He stayed right in his seat. And afterward, when I went to talk to him, his dear father and mother went out. His mother had just got saved a short time before. And with tears running down her cheek, she turned around to her husband and put her hand on his chest. And she said, Malcolm, how can you leave this meeting without Christ as your Savior? Look, she said, at your son over there in the corner. He wants to get saved, and you're going out without Christ. And he pushed his way on out. It wasn't long after I buried that dear man. He had a very, very soft heart. If he heard of an accident of any kind at all, he would break down and weep like a child. But, friend, his heart was hardened against God. And as far as I know, he died in his sins. But I went over and I sat down beside that dear man in the corner. And I said, Yurt, what's the trouble? He said, Mr. Joyce, I want to be saved. I want to be saved. And we looked at a few scriptures. He had got to desperation point, and he had determined that he wanted salvation. That night, as we read the Word of God, it seemed as though the light dawned on his soul. And when we went over that verse, that has been the means of so many coming to Christ. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I said, where are you in that verse? He said, I'm in the first part of that verse. What does it say? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. We talked for a minute. I said, do you think you could get down and thank God for saving your soul tonight? And I just wanted an answer, but he took me literally. And he got up and he got down on his knees. And he began to pray. And he said, blurted out in simplicity, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he trusted Christ as his Savior that night. And he's gone on to prove that he's a child of God these many years. Oh, friend, I wonder if there's somebody determined to get salvation tonight. This may be your last opportunity, God knows. I'm not getting very far with what I read tonight, but I want you to think of that voice from heaven, if you will, that voice of invitation. Come, for all things are now ready. Here we have a word, friend, for the sinner in the meeting tonight. Everything has been prepared. The gospel supper has been provided. At infinite cost, God gave His Son to die yonder at Calvary, to provide a redemption for sinners, to save your soul from going down to hell. And the invitation goes out tonight, come, for all things are now ready. When the Lord Jesus was hanging yonder on Calvary's tree in the darkness, and the waves and billows of divine wrath and judgment went over His sinless, spotless soul, He cried at the close of those moments of suffering, words like these, it is finished, and the work of redemption was completed. Oh, friend, the gospel supper has been provided at infinite cost. I believe that in chapter 14, you have a feast provided by the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 15, you have a famine, and the young man is there destitute and lonely and hungry. When you come to chapter 16, you've got a flame, and there's a man, and he's tormented in the flames of God's judgment. Oh, friend, tonight the gospel supper has been prepared at infinite cost. I believe that when the Lord Jesus cried those triumphant words, it is finished. The work was complete, and there's nothing that you can do. Oh, you know, isn't it strange that people try all kinds of things to add to the work of Christ? Oh, if I just knew how to believe, if I just knew, if I could just get a feeling, or if I could see a light or something like that. My friend, listen, the work was done. The work was accomplished. When the Lord Jesus cried, it is finished. All the prophecies concerning Him were completed. All the types and shadows of the Old Testament that tell about the suffering of the victims to put away to cover sin, they were all fulfilled in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The will of God, my friend, was accomplished at Calvary when the Lord Jesus did that work that finished the completely all that was necessary in order that you might enjoy that gospel supper. The power of Satan was disannulled there at Calvary. Sin was finished with, friend, because on the cross our sins were laid on Jesus. Jesus bore them on the tree. God, who knew them, laid them on Him, and believing, we go free. Friend, sin was dealt with at Calvary. Your sins! Oh, friend, what did the Lord Jesus do with them? Ah, that's what I saw almost 50 years ago, friend, was that yonder on Calvary my sins were laid on Jesus. You say, where did you see it? I saw it from the Word of God. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Oh, friend, it dawned on my dark soul that all my sins were laid on Jesus. When He cried, it is finished. The work was done. He had dealt with my sins. He had paid the price. He had borne the judgment that I deserved. and I accepted the truth of it, and I entered into the joy of it. The 16th day of April in 1939, poor sinner I count, came to Christ, and I found the joy of sins forgiven, sat down, if you will, at the gospel supper, and enjoyed the blessings that are in it. But you know the strange thing about Luke 14 and that gospel supper, with a supper that had been prepared at infinite cost? What does it say to those who were invited about them? It says they all with one consent began to make excuse. Oh, is it possible that there's some in our meeting tonight and you're making excuse? You know, there's a big difference between a reason and an excuse. You can't give one reason tonight why you should not be saved. You cannot give one good reason, friend, why you shouldn't come to Christ and get your sins forgiven. Not one. But I know there's lots of excuses people have. Oh, the flimsy excuses that these men had. One said, I have a piece of ground and I've got to go and see it. Flimsy excuse. You know, when you compare this life with eternity, when you think about your soul that is going to be forever, either in heaven or in hell, depending what you do with Christ tonight, when you think of eternal issues, my friend, all these trivial things that people bring up, oh, they say, I couldn't give up my friends. I couldn't give up the joys and pleasures that I have. I couldn't give up the type of business that I'm in. I couldn't give up my drinking or my smoking or my gambling or some of these other things. Friend, I want to tell you tonight, there's nothing in this world that is worth losing your soul for. I don't care what it is. Another man said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I have to go and prove them. Oh, he was a little off-center, too, to buy these oxen and never having looked at them to try them out. And the other man, I suppose, his was the flimsiest excuse. He said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. It was a marriage supper. It was a marriage feast. That's where you would think he would take her. Cannot come. Oh, friend, I don't know what your excuse is tonight. I don't know what it is that's keeping you from Christ. You know in your own mind, friend, those things that Satan would bring into your thinking that keep you from making your choice for Christ. Oh, let them go and get to the gospel feast tonight. What did the Lord say? He said, none of those men that are bidden shall taste of my feast. No, is it possible that there's anyone in our company on this side of the hall tonight? Anyone that's been bidden to the gospel feast, and the Lord is going to say, you'll not taste of it. Anyone on this side of the hall, I wonder tonight, and you've been bidden to the gospel feast, and the Lord may have to say, you'll not taste of it. We read one night about a man. I don't think we said very much about him. He was a Lord on whose hand the king leaned. He was a man on whose hand the king leaned. And he said to Elijah the prophet, when Elijah said, there's going to be plenty to eat at this time tomorrow, and there was famine in the land, and they were dying. And the man mockingly said, if God made windows in heaven, might such a thing be? Elijah, by the word of the Lord, said to that man, he said, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but you will not taste of it. I wonder if there's someone you'll see the blessing of God. Others have got saved. You'll not enjoy it. You'll never be in on it. That's a solemn thought tonight. That man who despised the word of the Lord, the next day, when there was plenty of food at the gate, he was given the responsibility of distribution, and there he was. But there were so many crowding around that they trampled him underfoot, and the man saw the food there with his eyes, but he never got a spoonful in his mouth. He died, and he went out, having seen it, but never tasted it. Oh, friend, listen, what are you going to do with Christ tonight? What are you going to do with the gospel supper? Are you going to receive them? You have the opportunity tonight to be saved. I think of that young man that we read about in Luke chapter 15. Where is he? Oh, he's in the far country. He's in the far country. Had we read about the sheep? The sheep was lost in the wilderness. Had we read about that coin, that piece of silver that the woman lost? It was lost in the darkness. We read about this son, and he's lost in his distance away from the Father. Oh, I wonder if there's some in the meeting tonight, and you're at a distance from God. You've kept him on the outside of your life. You've gone into your world, if you will, and gone after the pleasures of sin that are but for a season. Like that young man, you've taken your own way, and you've gone with all the resources that God has given you, and the knowledge that you have of salvation. And you've been out there sowing your wild oats and enjoying your time in the world. Far away from God, let them out of your thoughts. You know that portion in Luke chapter 15, it's as good for a man who's a backslider from God as it is for a soul that's outside of Christ. Because after all, he was a son. But there he was in the far country, wasted his substance with riotous living. I don't know what your case is in the meeting tonight, friend, but if you're a poor sinner and you've been wasting your substance, all the resources that God has given you, why do you think, friend, God has given you a mind to think? It's in order that you might understand your need of a Savior and get to Christ and begin to glorify God. And if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, you've never brought any glory to God. Not once, friend. Oh, I believe the first time a man or a woman brings any glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ is when they bow as a poor sinner, and in repentance they acknowledge their sinnership, and they see that there's one who died for their sins at Calvary. God be merciful to me, the sinner. Oh, friend, I think the first glory that I ever brought to the Lord Jesus Christ was when I got down on my knees and I said, thank you for dying for me at Calvary. Friend, have you ever done it? Has there been a moment when you received him as your Savior? Oh, this young man, he's in the far country. He's wasted his substance with riotous living. There's a famine around. There's nothing to satisfy. And you know as well as I do, friend, in this meeting tonight, this world has nothing new. It has nothing to offer. It has nothing to satisfy the soul. I know we all read in the news about that woman. I just read a little about her before I came. Christina Onassis, is it? With half a billion dollars at her fingertips. Heiress to all that wealth. And at 38 years of age, she's in eternity. From one husband to another, I don't know what she's trying to get out of life, trying to get some satisfaction. There wasn't anything she couldn't have as far as the world is concerned. Nothing. Everything at her disposal. I don't know whether that bottle that was sitting at the side of her bed when they found her was responsible for her death or not. They said it was edema. They said her lungs filled up and she passed out. I don't know. But friend, she's gone at 38 years of age. The world has nothing for him to offer. It's an empty place out there. It's a famine for the soul. But oh, friend, listen. There's the Father's house. There's plenty of supply if a soul is willing to come. This young man, it says, when he came to himself, when he finally sat down and began to think sensibly, and that man or that woman that will think sensibly tonight, about these eternal matters will come to themselves and make up their mind, I'm going to get this matter settled. I'm determined. He said, I will arise and go to my Father. And will say to my Father, Father, I've sinned. Oh, is there one tonight and you're ready to go? Soon as that son made his way back homeward, the father's eye was downward bent upon that dear man. Oh, he was longing for his return. Friend, God is waiting for you to come. He wants to save you tonight. I think of a dear father, a number of years ago, he did a lot of preaching, but he was a farmer just west of Chicago, and he was doing a little preaching at the time, and he was engaged in his work there. And so when the time of harvest had come and they were to take their wagon load of produce into town to sell it, he asked his son if he would go. And so the son left, and he went into town. He took that cargo into town, and he sold it, and of course, he had quite a sum of money on his person. And he thought, I'll just go down to the gambling place and have a little time with the boys. And he only intended to spend a little, but things went on, and more money was put on the table. And it wasn't long until the young man had spent all the money that he was supposed to take back to his father. And finally he went and he sold the wagon and he sold the horses. And he got enough to get out of the place. He was afraid to go home. And he took off and he went from one place to another. Finally landed up away down in California somewhere. That father's heart was broken. He didn't know where his son had gone. He began to search for him. He used to go around the country and he would have services and he would ask people if they knew anything about his boy. Would they tell him about it? And then he finally got a detective on the case. And they went back and they discovered just what had happened. And they tried to trace him from one place to another. And finally discovered that he'd gone away down to California. That dear father, he got his business clued up. And he went on his journey away down to California. Went into one of the largest places, I think it was Los Angeles. This was a number of years ago. He asked a man there if he would allow him to preach the gospel in his large building. And he gave him permission. And he advertised that he was going to be there. And he thought maybe my son will see the ad and he'll come to hear his father. Large crowd gathered. And that night he preached the gospel. And he told the folk about his wayward son. He said, I'd like to forgive him. I'd like him back home again. And he said, if he's in the audience tonight, if he'll only wait, I'll meet him after the meeting. And that large congregation dispersed. Away back under the gallery, a young man was standing there. And that father, as he made his way back, he glanced over and he caught sight of his son. And oh, what a welcome, what a welcome. Son, he said, it's all forgiven. Won't you come home? Oh, he said, Father, I was afraid to come home. I didn't deserve to come home after what I did. And oh, there's many a soul here tonight, friend, and I know you don't deserve salvation. None of us did. We all deserve to be down in hell, banished from God forever. But oh, thank God there was one who was willing to die in our stead. That a soul so unworthy might live on the way to the cross, he was willing to tread all the sins of my life to forgive. Friend, he wants to save you tonight. And there's a welcome waiting for you if you'll come. That young prodigal, he found his father's heart yearn for him. He had spent hundreds of dollars to get down to find his son. Finally found him and forgave him all. And took him back home again. Oh, friend, there's a father's heart that yearns for you tonight. Wants to save you. Are you going to come? Many a one, friend, that has wandered far away from God, has come back to the Father's home. He's waiting for you to come. I wonder, is there a heart here, and you're ready to come? Is a welcome waiting you? The welcome mat is out. Friend, if you'll come, salvation can be yours. Luke chapter 16. I'll have to leave that for my brother or for another time. There's that dear man down in the flames of hell. Oh, the voice of torment. Father Abraham sent Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Oh, the solemnity of a soul going out without Christ. Is there one here tonight, and you're going to take a chance? You can't do that. You make a choice tonight. Will you receive Christ? Are you going to reject him? God help you as this meeting goes on to make your choice for Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Come to the Father. He said, this my son was lost and is found, was dead and is alive again. Friend, he wants to save you. He's able to save you.